From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of April, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Holliston, Missouri. And we'll be joined by Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll update us on the snowfall. That's right, the snowfall that came across the Canadian prairies along with parts of North Dakota. How many inches, and way more than you might expect at this time of year, that some of those areas got of snow. And we'll discuss what that means as it's related to drought potential and put it in historical context. And of course, we'll talk about some cooler weather coming into the Midwest, although not a lot of rainfall with that. Shouldn't slow things down, but it might give farmers just a little bit of pause as to how soon they might want to really begin rolling across the Midwest and putting more corn or soybeans into the ground, for that matter. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Before we get to the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago, one special note. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack will join WILL AM 580's morning radio talk program called The 21st at 11:30 a.m. Central Time tomorrow. Those lines will be open. So if you have a question for the Secretary of Agriculture, he'll be there for a full half hour from 11:30 to noon Central Time tomorrow on AM 580. Tune in for the program. It actually starts at 11, but the 21st, it's the talk show, and Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack will join them, and they'll be taking your questions over the phone line. You can do that online, too, if you're outside of our listening area, which encompasses about two-thirds of Illinois and two-thirds of the state of Indiana, by simply going to willag.org and looking at the top of the page. You'll find a place to listen live to the AM side of our bands. Now, corn futures in Chicago settled 14 cents higher today in the lead option May at $5.94 a bushel, the July at $5.79.5 up 13, and December futures at $5.11.25 finished 7 higher. May beans at $14.10 up 20.5, July $14.02.25 17.5 higher, and November beans at $12.64. They settled 12.75 of a cent higher for the day. Bean meal at $3.98.20 up $3.20, and the bean oil at $54.24 up $1.21. July wheat 16.75 higher at $6.50.25 for the soft red. The hard red at $6.11.5 up 18.75 of a cent. Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of Holliston, Missouri to discuss what's happening in Chicago. Hi, Jackie. Quite a day in Chicago again.
Yeah. I tell you that you never know exactly which commodity's in the driver's seat, right? At this point in time, I'd have to say that it's probably wheat. You know, when we looked at, there was a lot of talk today out of Reuters saying that they had such an early frost and a hard frost in the wheat areas in France, but they don't know how much damage it did. We've got the driest U.S. hard red spring wheat in four decades in the last 90 days, is what CWG said. 6 years with a dry start to the calendar year posted two above trend and four below trend. And the four that were below trend were anywhere from 10 to 30% below trend. Which is pretty significant. And here's some more wheat information. CBH Group, which is the largest Australian cooperative and one of the country's biggest exporters, confirmed that they had significant damage at their Geraldton port after the cyclone that just passed over the region this weekend. And so at the moment, I'd have to say that wheat is the driving force in today's market. You know, the corn-soybean ratio has dropped below that 2.5 level that we usually consider to be pretty normal. We're at 2.47. At the moment, the trade would consider that corn having the edge. In other words, more corn planted acres. The question is that's the truth? You know, that we have to ask ourselves is how tight can bean stocks actually get?
Right, and they're already tight.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's it. It could have pushed them below 100 million bushels of carryout. I myself personally don't think we'll see that. because there's always that question in there about being a reliable exporter and those types of things. But it certainly begs to we have to ask ourselves, you know, are guys going to plant beans or not? We're talking to guys who are planting beans already. I mean, you know, there's no question about that. But is there going to be enough? Is this dryness that we're talking about? You know, there's so much drought talk right at the moment. Well, the drought primarily is in the western part of the U.S., not so much in the production area other than, let's say, North Dakota, South Dakota, some of those areas. You know, I guess when you look at it from a perspective, would they necessarily switch over from corn to Milo maybe? Up in those areas, depending upon what the weather does, you know, there's just an awful lot of balls in the air that we don't have the answers to just yet.
Hey, since you were talking about ratios, what's the stocks to use ratio for corn?
Well, on this last report, it came in at 9.2%. And that's the lowest stocks to use ratio that we've seen since 2013-14. So that's significant. I mean, when you look at last year, we were at 13.7%. And last year's average price, $356 versus the projected price right now at $430. Although they did not raise the projected cash price from last month where we were at 10.3%. I think that they're going to sit back on that a little bit and see what the market really does. We've got lots of squealing going on coming out of China and stuff that were too high priced. And yet at the same time, prices obviously haven't gone high enough to curb the buying that's been going on.
Well, what do their imports look like?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I read China, they imported 7.7 million metric tons of beans in March. That is up 82% from last year. And for the first quarter, they imported 21.2 million metric tons of beans. That's up 19% from the prior year. Imported 6.73 million metric tons of corn and 2.92 million metric tons of wheat in just the January through March quarter, which was record large. And so I guess they can squeal all they want to, but they're continuing to buy. So that just says to me that they, you know, food security is such a huge issue in China. And, you know, we keep hearing rumors and some confirmed stuff about AFS, but, you know, that African swine fever really killed the corn import situation in China last year. But I don't think it's going to be big enough to do that. And I think that there's just so many things that it's scary to me in some respects, how much corn China actually controls in the world stocks. I mean, I didn't look it up on this particular report, but on last report, they out of our ending stocks for corn, which is, what is it here? 283.85. Last month it was 287.67, and they controlled all except for 90 million metric tons. The rest was all in China, is where it was. And so that's a very concerning situation, you know, because we have to be careful here in the United States. If the Chinese yuan continues to gain any advantage over the U.S. dollar, that they could purchase grains here, which we already know they do is unknown, and then switch them to someone else who we normally sell to. But they could very easily get their fingers in there and control more of our corn price by being able to do that. And so we just have to really stay on top of this whole thing.
Speaking of staying on top of it, let's go through some of the normals that we usually count on week in and week out. Start with the support and resistance levels for me.
You betcha. And I'm going to July, September corn and December weekly, July, August beans and November weekly, just because we're getting that close to the end of April. When you look at July corn, 517 support, 582 resistance, 464 is a crossover point. September, 499, 557. It has been testing the downtrend line, so it keeps pushing its nose up there, but it just hasn't been able to get through it. December, 488 and 536. Up channel, the top side is 512. The bottom side is 462. We look at beans in July, 1284, 1460. The crossover is at 1320. August, 1291, 1444 with a crossover at 1325. And the November weekly, 1170 and 1285. And it is too is in an uptrend channel with the top end being 1368 and the bottom end being 1165. On the Dow Jones Index, again, we're moving higher. We have 30925 for support, 33901 resistance, and the crossover point is actually at 34985. U.S. dollar, 91.69 is support, 93.87 is resistance. Managed money, interesting what's going on in managed money. Soft red wheat, long 6,000 versus 5,000 last week. Corn, long 441,000 versus 420, which blew away the record from 928 of 2010. That record was 429,189. So we have now set a new record for managed money longs in corn. Soybeans, 141 versus 175 last week. Soy meal, 56 versus 66. And soy oil, 69 versus 99. So you can kind of see that managed money has definitely moved with the moves that have been going on to wheat. They've moved more into corn, and they're doing more spreading against beans. We look at export inspections. Exports on wheat are running the same as they were a week ago, down 1%. And corn, 82 ahead of last year versus 84 last week. And soybeans, 70% versus 71% last week. And we have to remember that on corn, USDA is saying 46% up. So, you know, that's 36% lower than where we're at right now. And on beans, they're saying 34% up, which is 36% lower than where we are right now. Those are things that we have to watch closely, you know, because in the past, Todd, I would say, and, you know, it still looks like it was a front-loaded market. In other words, we saw a lot of buying, and now that has, you know, and taking export inspections. Because when we talk about the USDA, export inspections are what count, not export sales. And so it's a circumstance where you have to be concerned about that, and the trade certainly will be looking at it.
We haven't talked about South America just yet. Of course, they're still in the middle to end of their soybean harvest at this point. Any information from there?
Well, I got lots of stuff from there. The Brazilian Minister of the Mines and Energy, he announced that the percentage of veg oil blended into petroleum diesel is going to be provisionally lowered from 13% to 10%. Their rationale is that biodiesel is too high priced because bean prices are too high priced. So soy oil makes up more than 70% of the vegetable oil used in their biodiesel. So the reduced use could really put some pressure, you know, on their domestic prices in Brazil. They said the blend, when they reduce it to 10%, they estimate it's going to reduce soybean oil by 650,000 tons per year, which is huge. And soybean crushing would decline by 3.25 million tons per year. Here's where the rub comes, though. So, you know, the lower crush would lower production of meal, which is extremely high priced already. And they have near record high domestic soybean prices with tight supplies. So, you know, what's going to happen in the livestock industry, because they're already complaining the prices for corn and meal are way too high. So if ultimately it does happen and they continue to do it, I think they're going to get pushback on it. But it would mean more beans would be available for export, basically, is what it comes down to. And as long as we're on energies, Brazilian production of ethanol from corn rose to 58% in this past year. And that's just because they had dozens of plants that were built in the country and they ramped up their production. And they're expecting an annual increase of 25%. Can you imagine that? That's huge. And so they're using corn as a feedstock to make ethanol, and they produce 2.57 billion liters of the fuel from April through March, which would be 2020 through 2021, or nearly 9% of their total production in the country. So, you know, they've historically made it from sugarcane. So there's been a lot of investments, especially in Mato Grosso, in going and doing this. So it's going to be interesting to watch what's going on. You talked about the Brazilian soybean harvest. It increased this week. 83% is where it's at. So it went up 7% from last week. And basically, when you look at some of these places like Mato Grosso do Sul, which is normally 100% done, you know, they're at 99. Most of the places are pretty well finished, with the exception of like Santa Catarina and a few of the Baha'i, a few of the northern sections. But it's interesting when you look at the whole picture. Mato Grosso represents 27% of the total crop for the country. That's pretty huge. And they had their first Brazilian corn crop harvest progress too. They're 72% harvested. And there, Rio Grande do Sul has 23% of the country as far as the percent of crop that they produce. So, you know, those are the areas we need to watch. Mato Grosso only produces 1% of the total crop of the country. And so it's kind of interesting. Argentina, they got some rain. You know, things are like they always are in Argentina, up in the air, basically. Not a lot to report on them.
And finally, as we get into the springtime, sure looks like there are a lot more vehicles on the road here in the United States.
You sure got that right. In fact, I read a blurb that said that over Easter weekend, there were more miles traveled. The most miles were traveled since March of 2020, since the pandemic hit. And I believe it, that the amount of cars on the road is just absolutely unbelievable. So that's a good thing. Let's hope so.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. That's Jackie Vick. She is with Total Farm Marketing. On this Wednesday afternoon, we're joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to discuss what's been happening across the Midwest, in particular as it relates to agricultural commodities, the growing season. Hey, thank you so much for being with us today. I bet we probably ought to start not in the Midwest exactly, but in the Canadian prairies. I know you've been watching them closely, and it does at some point have an impact on what happens here in the Midwest, especially if dry conditions start to spread out of some of those areas. We don't usually think of it coming out of the Northwest, but it can, I suppose. What's happened there in the last 10 days or so?
Yeah, and it certainly can. That's exactly what happened in 1988, if you recall. So there was a drought up in Canada. There was a drought in the southeast U.S., and the two merged together. Now, I'm not trying to predict that's going to happen, so don't go down that road. So in the meantime, yes, there was some significant relief that occurred in Manitoba and Saskatchewan over the past couple of days. Some impressive snows, actually. Some of the snow totals went over 20 inches in east central Saskatchewan. Generally, we're talking about probably 8 to 12 inches across the southeast half of Saskatchewan and Manitoba. Now, those areas are in a fourth year of drought. So that's why this is so important. And it is time to plant oats and peas and some wheat. And this moisture was so badly needed. A lot of producers were sitting on their hands because they couldn't really get out and try to seed into the dust. And this is going to change that. There was little to no frost in the ground. So when the snow melts, it's all going to seep into the soil, and it's going to be a really much better environment for them to plant in. Now, just farther to the west, not so good. Southern Alberta and southwestern west central Saskatchewan are still quite dry. We did get some of the snow to fall in North Dakota. So the northern one-half to two-thirds of the state did get snow. We saw 9.5 inches in the northwest corner. Up to 6 and 7 inches in the northeast corner, and also over the line into northwestern Minnesota. So those folks up there are looking a little bit better, a little happier today. There's still a big need for more volume of moisture, but every little bit helps when you're into the planting season.
It tells me also that it was cold enough certainly to snow. Will that stick around, and does it spread into the Midwest at all?
Yeah, good question, and yes, it will. This is the beginning of another extended period of northwesterly flow aloft. So we will start bringing surges of cool air in across the Canada prairies, through the northern plains, the upper Midwest, and eventually into the heart of the lower Midwest. We might even get some chilly weather to occur in the northern delta and the southeastern states, but that's at least a week away. So this northwest flow will carry multiple waves of coolness, and there will be some light precipitation. I don't think we're going to see a large volume of it, though. And that raises one additional little comment that needs to be made. Iowa, a big part of Iowa, central and northern Iowa, and southeastern Minnesota and southwestern Wisconsin are in their third week of very limited precipitation. And it looks like with the cool weather coming up, they will go another 10 days without big volumes of moisture. Now, they aren't too dry, but as soon as we warm up, they could certainly go down that road if they don't get a halfway decent amount of rain to come in. So that'll be something that folks are going to be looking at as we get into the latter part of April.
So sometimes farmers wait, especially if a rain that might be predicted could be heavy that would come in. Sounds like maybe they'll be able to plant in a large part of the Midwest, though the seed may just lay there for another week or so because of the cold temperatures. How cold are we talking?
Well, it'll take us a while to get this air into the region. The cold will probably come along with the greatest potency during the middle part of next week. So it's a full week away. We could easily see some moderation take place. There will be freezes, in fact, hard freezes that will occur already over the next few nights, all the way down from the northwest part of the Texas panhandle through all of the west central and northern plains. But next week is when it gets into the Midwest. The middle and lower parts of the region will see the coldest weather, probably from Tuesday night or Wednesday of next week on through the following weekend. And we will see temperatures in the 20s. In the northern half of the Midwest, for sure, and in the southern areas, probably upper 20s, lower 30s. So not necessarily punishingly cold, but definitely cool enough to reduce soil temperatures and maybe induce some frost and freezes at night.
Anything that the livestock producer in the western corn states, Corn Belt states or the northern plains needs to be concerned about?
Not too much. Now, there was some stress that occurred in the last couple of days with that snow event up in the Dakotas, North Dakota in particular. And now we do have a big storm coming into the west central plains in western Nebraska, southeastern Wyoming, northeastern Colorado, and northwest Kansas. This will occur, actually it'll start probably late tonight, but most likely it's going to be tomorrow into Friday. And we're talking about, oh goodness, maybe 5 to 10 inches of snow in northwest Kansas, and probably 8 to 14 inches in northeast Colorado and southwestern Nebraska. And perhaps over the line there in southeastern Wyoming. So it'll be a pretty significant wet snow. And just a little ways away from that area will be cold rain. So it's going to be stressful for livestock over the coming 3 days. And then we'll see frost and freezes occurring that will last on into the early part of next week.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.